Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Time to pour.
Oh my goodness. Oh yes. My goodness. Boy, that tastes good. Hey everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back on a Friday afternoon to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. God, my hair looks terrible. Sorry.
Your hair looks fabulous, Kai. Except for that one little piece up to the side.
I know. There's a thing going like
yeah.
that. I know.
But otherwise, it's great. I'm Kimberly Adams. It is Happy Hour Friday, also known as Economics on Tap, even though that is a beer thing. And I have, of course, as per usual, a cocktail. The live stream is up and running. Thank you to everyone who is joining us on YouTube or Discord, or if you're listening later on the podcast. We appreciate it and hope you are having a good end of your week, or for those who are working on the weekends, a good midweek.
Midweek, yeah, there you go. All right, so I heard you with the cocktail shaker earlier. What are you making?
So I put the actual decision on the drink because I was torn between a Manhattan and a Sazerac, and so I asked the folks on Discord, and they voted Sazerac, hence Sazerac.
I do like a good Sazerac. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a bourbon neat guy or a Sazerac guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, good for you.
Yes.
Good for you.
Nothing like a good Sazerac.
Yes, I'm being completely boring. Golden Road, Hazy Heal the Bay IPA, brewed here in Los Angeles. A little hazy IPA. I've got some things to do this afternoon,
you know,
so I can't drink too hard.
You got complicated stuff with work. You get to have an easy drink.
Okay. You're being very generous, but okay. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. My work and my life are not that complicated right now. What's interesting to me about you, mm-hmm. and to a lesser degree about Molly, but mostly about you, is that you sample a variety of cocktails. You're not wedded to one thing, right? So one day it'll be a margarita, then it's a Sazerac, and then it's, you know? And I just think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have like a but look, so if
my
you know,
go-to is red wine.
Stranded on
I
a
drink
desert
red
island.
Wine.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, lots of red wine.
Oh.
Mainly like heavier, full-bodied reds like Zinfandels and Malbecs and occasionally like Pinot Noir. Wow. So I like drink a lot of red blends.
I did not have that down on my Kimberly Adams bingo card, but okay. All right. I learned something
new
with you.
What is on your Kimberly Adams bingo card, Kai?
I was just remarking on your you know, flexible nature in alcoholic beverages, and red wine was not on the list. You know?
Okay.
No insult meant.
A lot of questions here about what happened after the cork incident last week.
Let's answer it, shall we?
So the cork, for those who did not pay attention to the live stream last week, I had a bottle of scotch that a beloved friend had given me. But when I went to open it during the show, the cork broke and it began to dissolve. And so my wonderful niece brought me a bottle of water, which is what I had. So then later, after the show, I tried to get the cork out the traditional way by turning the bottle upside down, putting the cork in, all that stuff. It didn't. It crumbled. Right. And so I have been drinking the scotch by pouring it through a mesh strainer every time I want some.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you got to do. Well, you could like pour it into a container and then pour it back into the bottle and get like a different cork, no?
I don't have a funnel at the moment. Somebody borrowed it.
Funnels are very useful. Very useful. Mm. All right. Well, good. Yeah. All right. We are now up to speed on the cork incident. Let us get to the news. So there was a thing that happened today at the White House, which we're going to play you some audio, and it's terrible audio of President Biden standing as President Trump used to do next to a helicopter answering questions. But it's really important on a lot of levels, and I want to play it, and I want to give a little – I want to get your take, Kimberly, and give you my take. So here we go. Here's the sound. It's mm-hmm. Biden today at the White House.
What's your message to platforms like Facebook?
They're killing people. I mean, it really, they are, look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And they're killing people.
So in case you couldn't hear it at the beginning of that tape, It's on COVID misinformation. What's your message for platforms like Facebook? And the president said, they're killing people. The only pandemic we have is the unvaccinated, and they are killing people. So I'm really torn about this, right? Because on the one hand, he's factually right, right? All mm-hmm. this disinformation is causing people not to get vaccinated. We see it all the time, and we see people die because of that. On the other hand, that was not the right way for him to answer this question for two reasons. Number one, it is a big deal when the president of the United States goes after a privately held company, not privately held, a private company, right? Facebook is publicly traded, but in the nomenclature, that means it's called a private company, right? And as we know and have talked about on this podcast, there's no First Amendment, nothing. There's none of that, right? And this is the president of the United States taking off after a private company, as did President Trump after Boeing and Carrier air conditioning. I mean, you know, Trump did it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a big deal. And I would submit that there was a better way for him to get this same point across. And my go-to example here is from Ken White, who, full disclosure, is a personal friend of mine in real life, but mm-hmm. is also a First Amendment lawyer. And Ken, in a series of six tweets this afternoon, laid it out really well. And fundamentally, what the White House should have said was, look, we call on Facebook, and this is quoting Ken, Facebook to reconsider its stance. We've identified common anti-scientific propaganda that put lives at risk. Facebook can continue to profit off that, but it can choose not to as well. And that would have been a better way, I think, for Biden to answer that question, because bringing down the force of the federal government like he just literally does by opening his mouth is not the right way to do this. And I'm curious as to your take.
I think Facebook has proven itself to be so powerful and resilient that this idea of the president bringing the full weight of the federal government down on a company by speaking out about it, even if we look back to Trump, some of these companies are just so powerful that it doesn't matter the way that it used to. Because all those companies you listed that Trump went after, they're all fine.
They're all doing fine. Totally agree.
They're all fine. Totally agree. And Facebook is going to be fine. Now, to the actual meat of what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. What do they say? The ultimate defense against libel is if it's the truth.
That is true. It is an absolute defense against libel. That's right.
Yeah. So as someone who personally has people in my family who are ingesting disinformation and misinformation and have chosen not to get vaccinated, for whom I'm in Missouri, literally the hotspot, and I'm very worried.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to take issue with that, given the scale of the problem. Could it have been expressed better? Yes, but we knew this about Biden when he was running for president, that he speaks in his sort of way, and we hoped when Trump was running, oh, surely the guy who's talking like this during the campaign is going to get it together once he's president. So if there's a lesson from Trump, it's that the same person you see in the campaign is likely to be the same person who shows up every day at work. And same thing with Biden. This is who he is.
Well, so that's what Levi Adams said here in the comments, right? Levi Adams says, well, this wasn't a prepared statement. It was Joe Biden responding, not necessarily the executive branch. The catch, of course, is that Joe Biden is the executive branch. And look, I get your point about Joe Biden is who he's going to be. And, you know, he gets all, you know, hey, folks, let me tell you this and let me tell you that. It got me today. It just bugged me and I wanted to make a mention of it, you know.
Well, and if we can step back a little bit further, the fact that we have two examples back to back of presidents not exercising the kind of restraint when speaking about businesses or things like this that we might typically expect, mm-hmm. you know, it can mean a couple of things. Either we need to readjust our expectations of what the presidency is and how modern presidents behave, or, you know, we need to start electing different types of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally true. Totally true. Both really good points. Okay, that's my news. That's what I got.
I have so many links, but they are all about the same thing. So, starting with a story from CBS, the largest wildfire in the U.S. spreads, larger than the size of New York City, and just 7% contained. jump over to a story in Bloomberg. Extreme heat in the U.S. sparks a squeeze on shellfish supplies, basically because all of the fish and shellfish are dying from extreme heat. Okay, New York Times. Here we go. Work injuries tied to heat are vastly undercounted, study finds. New data underline how heat waves can hurt people, especially the poorest workers, in unexpected way. And just for fun, let's go to Germany. Not fun at all. This is a story that NPR has. Flood deaths are rising in Germany, and officials blame climate change. Now, as I was pulling all of these together, I kept thinking back to those movies from the 90s and early 2000s when sort of climate change was getting into the zeitgeist, and there were all these apocalyptic movies of, like, all of these chaotic things happening. And the opening montages of these movies were always, like, the newsreels of the fires and the floods and the, you know, all these things. And this is where we are. This is where we are. We're in it. This is climate change. It's not far away anymore. It's here. And pandemics. Thank you on the YouTube
and
chat.
And pandemics. That's right. That's
and
right.
pandemics.
I really want to rewatch Interstellar because I really liked it. But but I don't know if I can handle the basic premise of that film, which, if you remember, is just apocalyptic Earth and climate change and terrible. And I'm like, God, you know? Hey, Buzz, come on.
Can't.
I know. Come on.
Sorry, no, we need some dog love
come on.
Right now.
Come here.
This is grim.
Come here. Come on. Come here. Here she comes. So I don't know that
dogs
I can bring myself to watch
better.
Interstellar right now, you know? Dogs do make everything better. We're here. And I'd be curious as to what folks are saying in the comments as to it seems more real now than it did even a year ago. And maybe that's because we're all just super sensitized because of the pandemic. But the apocalyptic nature of what we have done to this planet is so much more tangible now. You know.
Gene Hobbs points out an article I was looking for, but I remember seeing it past my timeline, but I couldn't find it, where there's a story about hundreds of baby flamingos dying in Turkey because of the drought.
Oh, God, no. I didn't see that. Heard about the mollusks and everything out west boiling in their own sand or whatever it was.
Yes. Several people are talking about particular movies like The Day After Tomorrow. Lots of people really just want to see your dog, honestly.
All right. I was just going to say, I need to change my camera settings here so I can actually see what I'm showing you guys. Bonds, come here.
Ryan is waiting on the dark place sting.
I know. So this is Bonsai. She's a little bit of a mutt. She's 10 or 11. Very not comfortable being picked up, so I'm going to put her down in a minute. There you go.
There you go.
Thank you for that.
If Willow wasn't upstairs, if Willow wasn't upstairs with the human to which he is devoted in this house, or she, I'd put her on camera too. But anyway, we got the dogs that we got. Okay, shall we? Please, let's.
Yes, for the love of God.
Let's. Good grief, let's.
All right, we got half full, half empty. Half full, half empty. I swear I wasn't pre-gaming. Where you give your predictions on various topics. Drew Jostad is out and Liana Squillaci is here. Take it away, Liana.
Are you half full or half empty on anything infrastructure happening ever?
Oh, such a good question. Are you? Really?
Yep. It's unavoidable now.
Really? That's what you're going with? It's unavoidable? It has to happen?
It has needed to happen. I think it is a bit, as you said, where it feels more present than it did even a year ago. So much of this is in people's faces in a way that it really wasn't. Also, I will say that the media is changing slightly. During the Trump years, we were, to be perfectly honest, overwhelmed by everything happening with the Trump administration. And now that that sort of fire hose has eased up a bit. Mm-hmm. You see the few remaining media organizations kind of zooming out and the other really important things happening in the world. And as folks are sort of taking a lay of the land, the biggest one is climate change. And so I do think there's more public attention to it. More people are feeling the individual effects. See fire, size of New York mm-hmm. City.
For sure.
See floods, sure. Germany. All of these things make me feel like it's... what are you...
Kimberly Adams, her own footnote. No, I was chuckling at your footnoting yourself. See also fire. See also floods.
Yeah, so... You have people in office who care about it. You have more public attention, more media attention, more global cooperation on it. Yes, there is still resistance in Congress, but I do think something's going to happen.
I agree generally. I think the hard infrastructure bill that is called the bipartisan bill will pass. I'm less sanguine about the $3.5 trillion care economy bill that's going to have to be passed just by the Dems. So I'm like,
yeah,
you know,
same.
You know, two-fifths. Anyway, so that's it. Next.
Are you half full or half empty on TikTok banning sponsored Bitcoin and investing content?
Oh, so interesting. You know, so I just did an interview about TikTok as a viral generator of random sales of, like, products. It is crazy the reach that – and not only the reach, but the influence that platform has. Number one, consult your own investment advisor. Number two, yes, TikTok definitely should have banned stupid financial advisor things from that platform because it's never good advice. That's where I am.
Half full on the ban, half empty on it mattering. Mattering?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Totally true. Yep. Totally true. Okay.
Next. Make Me Smart Next. Listener Dale would like to know if you are half full or half empty on Comic Sans.
The font?
The font.
Clearly about the font, yes. Clearly about the font.
Huh. Did I miss something here? I don't know this story.
No, not at all. But maybe Dale just has a thing. So full disclosure. All right. So when my kids were younger and I would go out of town, I would always leave them a note. Here's what's going on. Here's where I am. You can get me at this. I'm at this hotel, blah, blah, blah. And I would do it in Comic Sans for whatever reason. I don't do that anymore because they're older and they say, Dad, shut up. But I'm half full. I'm okay with Comic Sans. I have no gripe against it.
I'm very nostalgic for it. I used to, when we first got a computer at home and there was this program on really old Windows that let you make your own greeting cards. And I would print out, sort of DIY greeting cards and mail them to my cousin in Florida who was the same age as me and total Comic Sans all the way. So, nice memory.
There you go. So let me just, from the comments, from the YouTube comments, Joshua Mayfield, he is a font designer, as he tells us in all caps, hot take is half full. Just saying. Hmm? There you go. The man's a professional.
Got some Calibri fans with Debbie Donovan. I should say, Debbie, right. That is what I use in my emails all the time. Calibri, that's mine.
Oh, I'm Ariel.
Crystal Hurt says
Ariel
empty regular, for anyone over
12. Ariel regular that? 12. That's me. That's what I go with.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Let's
Sorry.
See.
Sorry.
Other people. Oh, here's something interesting.
This is so
in
funny.
Discord, Snooth from Las Cruces says, I know dyslexic people who say that Comic Sans is easier for them to read.
Hmm. Well, that's a vote for Comic Sans.
Oh, Tim from Austin. Papyrus is the truly bad one. I loved Papyrus as a kid.
Wow.
I really did.
Wow.
Which maybe previewed
so
me living in Egypt later on. Hey.
What? Oh, nice. What is so interesting is people have strong feelings about this. Right? I'm like, wow. But it's just font. Okay. Anywho.
There's
Liana.
A whole documentary about Helvetica.
I know.
My mom likes Comic Sans.
Oh, well, there you go.
Just saying,
that's
go.
It.
That's decided.
Half full.
All right, you want to do one more?
Yes.
Yeah, one more.
Okay, are you half full or half empty on Indiana Jones 5?
Could not be less empty. Could not be. Could not be. Antonio Banderas and a 75-year-old, no, I'm not being ageist, Harrison Ford, come on. Can we just, like, we should have left it with Indiana Jones. Full stop. Full stop.
I mean, unless the whole thing is, like, going back and apologizing and readdressing all of the culturally inappropriate stereotypes and appropriation and just negative images of the previous movies and trying to, like, fix that somehow, I'm going to say empty, like, all the way empty. Yeah. I loved the Indiana Jones movies when I was younger, and then I grew up and realized that that stuff is harmful to a lot of communities to be presented in that way. And now when I watch them, it's just, like, cringe.
It's tough. Yeah. Yeah. This is a definite leave well enough alone and half empty. Negative empty. Yeah. Take your pick. However empty you can get.
Liana, where do you stand on that one?
I don't feel that great about it. But fair enough. Don't care that much about Indiana Jones. Don't come for me.
Yeah. No, that's look, I get it. You got to pick your battles in life, and sometimes Raiders of the Lost Ark is not the one. That's it.
I didn't see them until I was already an adult, though, so I think that might be why.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Not a movie buff.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, don't worry. Kai isn't either.
oh, snap.
I couldn't let that one go.
Play this thing. Get me out of here. There we go. Holy crow. All right, we're done. Mercifully coming to an end. Next week, look, there's a lot going on next week. I'm traveling. Molly's doing her project. Kimberly's going to be here all week. So we're going to call this Make Me Smart with Kimberly and whoever from now on. In the meanwhile, send us your comments, your questions, your answers to the Make Me Smart question, please, which is what is something you thought you knew but you forgot about. You can send us an email or a voice memo at makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can call us. And here's the deal. 508-827-6278, 508-82-SMART, or this from Mike in Waterville, Ohio, about another way to remember that phone number. Go.
Hi, this is Mike from Waterville, Ohio, and I'm just calling on your new voicemail number, but you're missing something. Your number is 508-U-B-SMART. Which I think is great for Make Me Smart.
Isn't that awesome?
Thanks very much. Love listening to you every day. Bye.
And we love you, Mike.
You be smart. That might be the best listener voice memo ever. Come on, right? Yes. How great was that?
I love it. I love it. It's like yesterday where I was like, you have to be smart to be on Make Me Smart. You be smart.
That's right. Oops. That's right. You be smart. Look, it's not a podcast unless you whack the microphone at least once.
I know, right?
All right. There's another sting that's going to signify the next stage of this program, which is the end of it, shall we? Oh, my goodness. It's not even a sting. It's just new music.
Whew. It's wonderful. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by the wonderful Liana Scalace, and Stephen Byung produces our favorite game, Half Full, Half Empty, and the YouTube live stream for all of y'all enjoying.
Bridget Bodner is in charge of whatever this podcast is, because we never know. The executive director of On Demand is Tar Nieves. It is Friday afternoon. All y'all have a great weekend, all right?
Oh, my gosh.
All y'all.
I have to cover up my air conditioning vents for this because the noise is too loud the microphone. So I'm just like stewing.
Have I introduced you to my shed? It's just,
which has no AC. So we're both just glowing. That's all.
Yeah, we're glowing. Glow. That's right. You, me, and Elizabeth Taylor, we're glowing. That's right.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.